Okay, welcome everyone to Thursday class. Today I wanted to explore breaking generational curses. And the reason why I wanted to dive into this specific topic, it's because, the current astrology is showing a lot of triggers. And all the people I talk to, either at work or clients or friends, everybody, it seems that right now it's like there's the darkness, the unconscious is coming to the surface. And usually whenever we have these themes, these energetic themes that are going on, there's a lot of things from the past that come to the surface. That has been also the case for me in the last month. And even though I feel like for many years there was this emphasis on the healing, 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 healing. And because of that, I really moved away from that and I stepped more into the empowerment piece of tantra and spirituality and weaving back together our life. I think, it's time to bring back those two together and kind of merge. What is it that, it's healing at the core? And what does that have to do with the generational curses? Because it's talked about online. We see it constantly of like being the chain breakers. But what does that really mean to be in that role now that we have more information about what that role is? And what are some of the things that we can actually find our gifts and clues for our destiny in that process? So let's start with what is a generational curse. At the core, a generational curse is simply an unconscious pattern. So if it's an unconscious pattern, it means that it's something that has been repeating itself, but nobody's really aware of it, even though everybody's experiencing the backlash or the pain of it, the results, the symptoms of being in that wound. What's important to understand here is that because it's an unconscious pattern, we can get really caught up in the blame game whenever we're going through the process of identifying like what is like what is this wound that we're healing? Who started the wound? Where does it come from? It comes from Mother Nature. Like for me, the best way to, ground all type of healing work is just blame it on Mother Nature. Why? Because if we look at the history of humanity, this planet is it's fierce. It's fierce. Like we love connecting with Mother Nature and going and grounding and being under the tree. There is a safety in that scenery. But then imagine, at least in my country, whenever you go to nature, it's not kind. It's not breezy, shaded. It's brutal. You could die if you're not prepared. So there is. All wounds in humanity are part of the collective of this planet. All the distortions, they come from this initial attack that we receive from the devouring mother of from Mother Nature, which is get strong, evolve, grow, or die. That's a pretty intense upbringing. And this is the upbringing that humanity as a collective has had. So we all, even if we had the most gentle parents and the most beautiful childhood, humanity as a brotherhood, sisterhood, humanhood, collective, our mom she was tough. She was really tough. So we're now dealing with all of the results of the wounds of what happens when we encounter Mother Nature's backlash and the threat of death, and what happens with the fear, and then what happens whenever that fear doesn't get released properly and it gets brought into the community, brought into the home, what happens when it gets brought into sexuality, brought into dynamics between men and women, dynamics between family members, mothers and children. And then all of a sudden, we have this big knot of, patterns that are creating themselves. This is no accident. This is perfectly orchestrated because this is a reality of duality. I always say that. It's like we are here to understand contrast by contrast. If I grew up in poverty, there's going to be a desire for wealth. If I grew up in abuse, there's going to be a desire for peace. If I grew up in peace, there's going to be a void into what is it that I want to do. It's like a desire for friction in life. It's like everything is always giving us, sending us in the opposite direction. So there is an emphasis on the curriculum of being born on planet Earth at this time and at any times of you will encounter darkness so you can know light. From that perspective, all wounds are so divine. They are, you know, all generational patterns. They are generational gifts. And what inspired me to like have this epiphany was actually the movie Encanto, the Disney movie. Of course, I cried when I watched it because, you know, it's a Colombian movie and it resonated deeply with me. It's a Disney movie, but like it's set up in Colombia. So, you know, all the feels with it. But for me, what I understood from that movie, when I saw it from my lens, is that all these gifts that the family had, I saw them as wounds, right? Like the strong aunt, that's the wound of the woman that is not allowed to crumble, to melt, to be baby because she's the older sister. Like I just saw this movie as like, oh my God, this is like a movie about intergenerational trauma. That's from my personal, you know, lens and glasses. But I loved it because it was a form of creating art with something that's so painful for humanity, which is the wound. And the wound creates the scar, and the scar, it's art. The scar is art. So with these generational curses and on or unconscious patterns that go up in your family, very easy to identify whenever they are abusive patterns, whenever they are patterns that are so obviously unhealthy. But I have noticed that some of the most difficult patterns to break out of are the patterns that are softer in nature. Maybe they're the patterns that are internalized. So growing up with somebody that just internalized absolutely everything, everything was fine, but there was a particular person, like the woman in the family or the man in the family, just somebody in the family that's constantly internalizing, almost like you know, dagging their heart with, you know, with whatever is going on, instead of, you know, expressing and allowing the energy to flow. It's like eating it up. So I'm like holding into all this energy. And whenever we are doing this of just like, that's a form of like an energetic cancer that grows within, that oftentimes shows up in as the physical manifestation of the disease of cancer. So those are a little bit harder to identify because they're called peaceful generational curses, meaning there's no war outside. Whenever you have a generational pattern in the family that is so out there, you're like, that's violent and I'm not going to do that. But the inner ones are more difficult to identify. If you happen to be born in one of those families and those are the type of generational curses that that you're breaking, your path is very, like, it's even more emphasized into the internal observance of, you know, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? Why am I doing this with everything that you do? When it's more externalized generational patterns, like abuse or trauma, is always like, what is the environment telling me about myself? What is the environment telling me about myself? So it's important to know this, because if we don't know, we're just like, you know, we hear something, we hear a reel on Instagram saying, if you want to break your generational curses, you have to, you know, do the inner work, go within. Yes, that is true. But what type of, you know, generational pattern is there? It's like I see life as this big mandala made of like threads that are constantly connecting and just, you know, this very elaborate thing. We need to know where the stitching stuck and how to unstuck it. Because sometimes in trying to unstuck it, we get even more stuck in the, you know, in the energetic flow of the wound instead of the energetic flow of the healing of the wound, which is, you need to create a little bit of space. It's like whenever we have a knot, like the necklaces get knotted, you have to soften it a little bit. You have to get it together to create space between the chains, because if you keep pulling, you're gonna break it. So by having awareness over, okay, if I am on this healing path and there was a void or a pain that I've carried with me my whole life, I was born to break a generational curse. What is the curse? Is it an internalized curse or is it externalized? Where does the energy flow? Once we know where the energy flows, then we can begin healing it. And how do we know that there is something in the family that needs to change? That's a very important question, because You know, there might be certain things that are part of values, and society might say one thing, but the family maybe protected a family value that is actually, it's sacred and it's important and it's part of the legacy. So how do we even know that this needs to be changed? And the easiest way to know that something is distorted is because it doesn't feel good. That's it. If it doesn't feel good, there's something there. There's that distortion. We can open up like a million different tangents with what I just said, that if it doesn't feel good, it's a distortion. Because it's like, well, sometimes, you know, light hits you and then the discomfort of the thing. And but I'm speaking more in a general sense. If there is something that's like, this is how we are, this is the way things are, or everything's fine, you're crazy, everything's fine, this worked for us. If it doesn't feel good to you, then that's an indication that that is not in alignment with the flow. And if you're hearing these conversations, if you're constantly searching or finding information that are talking about healing and transformation and growth and spirituality, that means that like you are aware. You are like holding a point in the thread that is going farther than the other ones in your family lineage. Maybe your family is weaving over here, side to side, but up here, like up here, this is the area where, you know, where you're pulling up into higher consciousness. And if we look at it from the chakra systems, it's like that's their eye area, where it's like I see more of what is being presented to me. If we see more than what's presented to us in reality, then we have a role, we have a responsibility. And the name, the identity that I like to give this very specific role is the generational chain breaker. And there is a beauty to this role. There is also a burden. There is a heavy responsibility that comes with it. But you know if that's your role in your family. Most likely, if you're listening to this early, you know, you're here, it's like, yeah, that's your role and you know it. This is the new information. So why bring up information that's not new? Well, let's get into it. So now that you've identified that it doesn't feel good and it's something that needs to be transmuted or transformed, you know, you need to begin organizing. In spirituality, especially like New Age spirituality, for those of us that don't feel comfortable in religions that already exist or structures, whether they're Eastern or Western, is just like something is not almost but not quite. It's very important to create that order and structure, because if not, you can get very ungrounded. And you know, like we have, especially the more intelligent you are, the more a danger that you are of like deluding yourself. Like this is, you know, if you're a brilliant person, you need to watch out for all the ways in which your mind is going to try to always justify things. That's the importance of organizing and creating structure. So if you know that you have the role being the generational chain breaker of your family, and you're dealing with unconscious patterns in a family unit, and you want to break out of that so it doesn't continue in your lineage, whether you reproduce or not, it doesn't keep on. It's almost like a way of freeing the collective planet from something that brings pain. You're not only healing yourself and your family. Whenever you end something like that, you're saying like I become illuminated. I see the light of this darkness. And because I see the light of this darkness does not need to exist and be perpetuated anymore, because I am the light that consumed this darkness and alchemized it and illuminated the path. So in the future, when there's like future generations or future energy that's coming to me and it's saying, what is that thing? I have the wisdom to express what is the darkness without them having to have the experience of the darkness itself. That's the gift of wisdom. Oh, I got really hot just now. Oh my God. So one of the main principles that I've been following in on my healing journey that was extremely hard for me to accept and create a value system out of it is that life is about feeling good. When we feel good, we're in alignment with our soul. When we feel bad, we're in misalignment with our soul, and most likely in alignment with a distortion of the planet. And collective distortions are very, very, very powerful. It's like, you know, trying to swim out of an ocean hole. If you have ever had this experience, you know how terrifying it is. Like whenever you get caught up in like a vacuum in the ocean, and the force of the water is so strong that you can like you're like, this is the end of me. Like there's no way I will survive this. That, you know, that intensity of just nature on you. That's the power of the unconscious collective. And that's the power of these energies of darkness that we are just getting out of. This is a new dawn. It's a new energy. We feel it. Like it's no accident. We think like, oh, you know, we've been thousands and thousands of years of human history. Like just like dropping into the present moment right now. Look at what has happened. Look at what is going on. Like we are in a point in life and collective like conscious evolution that's so important. It's like if we're weaving something, it's the point that turns it around to make it go the other direction. It's no longer this straight line. So far, it has been, from what we know, it's been a straight line of like, you know, suppression, slavery gets better and better and better and easier. It spikes up a little bit better, better, better and easier. But it's like we're in a line. We're no longer in a line, and we can feel it. We can sense it in, you know, looking at everything that's going on. It's not more of the same. It's more of the same on steroids with a brand new lens, with technology, with like sci-fi type of thing. Like it's getting, you know, it's getting interesting. So I shared last week or the week before about like if you know, the distortions are growing, so is the light, so is consciousness. So understanding that we are swimming against a current, but the soul feels good. Alignment with the soul feels good. If something doesn't feel good, then it ain't it. Like that's, it's just misalignment. From that, right? Just from that very simple thing, you can observe all of your life. Observe all of your life. Oh my God. See, I'm talking and as like I'm saying this, I'm listening to it and I'm like, oh, I see a few areas in my life where I'm like, I'm so confused about this, which it doesn't feel good. And if it doesn't feel good, it's a misalignment. Silvana, listen up. So we need to we must heal the misalignment in order for us to, it's like we need the misalignment to penetrate into our own consciousness. That it's like, whoa, it's a misalignment of something that doesn't feel good, sending me back to myself. Something's misaligned. Where is the knot? There's a knot in there. Where is the knot? And the knot is simply something that is reversed. So you need to always, you know, observe yourself with this perspective whenever you're exploring like your wounds. It's no longer like, let me go see what's there and just get lost in the ocean of unconsciousness. I'm noticing that, you know, every time that I'm explaining or that I'm teaching or that I'm mentoring, I'm getting more and more like methodological. More, you know, like I'm getting less into the flowy, let's see what's there. And I'm getting more into like, this is what you're finding. It's like, and I feel that's also part of like my growth into my own masculine energy. It's like I am getting more and more precise with how I like to do surgeries on myself, spiritual, emotional surgeries, because that's what we're doing when we're like doing this deep dive into ourselves. So we need to penetrate our consciousness to find the knot, because when we find the knot with our awareness and we feel the knot, it gets released. That's the healing process. Simplifying healing is going to change our lives, all of us. Because if I talk about like healing, it just feels like it's like this super elaborate, complex thing. And you know, I was stuck in on that journey for many years of like, I'm just healing, I'm just healing, I'm just healing. But I was just like in a loop, you know, infinity loop of that energy. But whenever you see it that way, it's like healing is simply going within, finding the knot. Putting your consciousness in the knot, meaning like, oh, here it is, and then feeling it and letting the body, the heart chakra, feel through that discomfort, feel through that pain, and just energy out, movement of energy, the knot gets released. whenever we have these generational curses, we're no longer talking about one knot. We're talking about like a thousand different knots that are bunched up in a ball. And so I wanna keep on this imagery going. It's like, okay, if we have a thousand knots that are in a ball, is it really wise for me to go knot after knot after knot to release it? Or do I create maybe a little fluffy ball with this ball of knots and like make sure that I make it as a little bud, and around the bud I create more petals, and then all of a sudden I transform this thing into something more beautiful. Wisdom is the ability to know whether each knot is meant to be released by us or we need to recreate something with it. For example, on my journey, I used to, you know, always go to the knots, always return to the source of the trauma, and then try to, you know, find the light, be the consciousness, feel it, move it. And I got to a point where I realized, oh, this isn't just, you know, 5, 6, 7 knots. This is a ball of knots that there's just no way that I'm gonna have enough time, energy, patience, stamina, and life force to go through this in this lifetime. And for me, that was almost like an opportunity to cut the thread. Just cut the thread. And now I start a new pattern. That is the energy of breaking generational curses. And so what happens to this knot of energy, of the generational curses that are a bunch of bunched up energy? We take responsibility for the cutting, meaning if this is what I'm meant to be and I'm becoming the opposite of that, then I'm taking responsibility for my path on the new energy. Another way of putting it, if I choose to let go of a generational pattern of sexual trauma, I'm choosing to embody sexual health, sexual vibrancy, clean sexuality. You see, it's like whatever the generational curse is, we turn it around, we turn it over, we release it, and we create a space for the opposite energy to exist. It's like the roots are already present. Now it's time to create the branches in the light. And this is happening in every area of life. It's a way of transmuting and transforming, of getting out of this like serious energy of like, it has to be this way, but becoming more playful with life, because life is creative. Life is, you know, life is like the child that's like giggling with the little dog, and they're just like in this innocent soup, just like entertaining themselves and just bliss and playfulness. And, you know, the children running in the flowers and the woman getting lost in the music and the old lady laughing at the ducks. Like that's life. Life is just, life doesn't have to make sense. Life just wants to life. So all of this, like, oh, the trauma and the curses and the wounds and the, like, I eat it up, even though I'm not feeling good, even though I'm not like, in this excel energy of joy, like that's, you know, those are the knots. And sometimes it's as simple as like, I choose to not live in this knot. I choose to break out of it, just breathe, just like do nothing. Life just wants to life. I just want to be alive. That's it. Not, I need to create the business. I need to do this. I need to write the book. I need to get the promotion. I need to, it's like, life just wants to life. Oh, it's going to be my mantra for the week. Because that's what it is about. And the doing nothing, just existing. When did that stop being enough? That stopped being enough whenever, you know, I don't know when slavery came into the picture. It seems like it's been there forever and ever and ever. But I think like when that consciousness was created, the consciousness of slavery, that's when doing nothing and just being alive became not enough. Because then all of a sudden it's like there's this energy of enslavement. I don't know if I want to go there. Think the energy of enslavement, I think. And this is an opinion coming from just my own psychedelic journeys with plant medicine. It starts with the separation of like the genders, male and female, like the divine feminine and divine masculine, in the separation of it, and in the, you know, in that, in like in the genders. I think that's when the energy of slavery was created, was born, like the distortion of it. It's something at least that for me feels like a very important place to look into. Whenever I explore that energy in like the industrial slavery that we have going on right now, it's always, how does that relate to like my relationship with the energy of duality? The primary energy of duality this planet is that the feminine and the masculine principles, the separation of the sexes. Everything else you can always like divide into, you know, dark and light, yin and yang, all of that. But like for me, the way that I'm able to understand life better, just because I live in one of those polarities, so I can look at the other, is that it's in the separation of the two. So, what was I saying that? Oh, in the healing process of exploring the generational curse, it's always like, you know, if you go one side, you gotta go the other. Here, there. When we breathe, it's like in and out, left, right, left, right. Like everything has this rhythm. And when we're in alignment with life, we're at the rhythm of life. And life is like, bah, 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 bah. And we just gotta, yeah, we have to get attuned to what is the rhythm of life within myself, not of the illusion of Maya, because this is, there's a lot of rhythms here. It's confusing. But if I cover my eyes and I cover my ears and I just like go within, what is the rhythm of my life? I'm finding a drum. And that's why these ancient cultures, the drum is a very powerful element. Why? Because it's reminding of the boom, 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 boom of the heart. You need to find the beat of life within yourself and hold on to that beat of life as you're exploring all of the other sounds, all of the distortions, going into exploring your family trauma, your personal trauma, the parts of you where you have not liberated or freed yourself. We can go to those places in power with, you know, the individuated, feminine, powerful energy whenever we are very connected to the boom, 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 to like that tempo, the rhythm of life that flows through you. What you find with that is that when you dance in that rhythm, all of a sudden things align where you're like, holy shit, all of a sudden there's like five people on the same beat, and then we go apart again. And then it comes back again and it's like an orchestra. This is something that, you know, like I'm explaining so much of today's conversation with so many examples and like metaphors and just, you know, trying to, because I'm trying to put energy into a way that the mind can comprehend it. And that's the best that I can do. But the best way that you can tap into this energy is by having the experience of it, you know? That's why, like, even when I made my series on YouTube, The Tantric Taste, I'm like, I can make, you know, 100 videos about Tantra and the Mahavidyas and all of this, but until somebody like dabs their finger into it, they won't feel it. It's like it's just cognitive information. The same with this. It's like until you connect with that drum beat, the beat of your soul, and dive into like what is the boom, boom, boom within. And I see like the other, like the synchronicity, the orchestra of life, where you're like, oh my God, this is crazy. This is crazy. Like, it's just, you know, it's just talk, it's just words. So explore that. Ask yourself to, you know, show you what is the beat of my life. Another angle to explore these generational curses from is the angle of wanting to baby the generational patterns. And this is a realization I had specifically with the movie Encanto. If you haven't watched it, watch it. It's so good. I really like Disney movies. So in this movie, the grandmother has a wound, a war wound. And everybody in the family knows that. And she's rigid and she's stuck in her wound, and everybody knows that. But everybody allows her to continue in her, in her rigid state because they're like, but she's so wounded. That's babying the wound. If there is that distortion, and we're like, ah, but she went through so much, but he went through so much, they were doing the best we can. That's not serving anyone. And that's not to say that we, shouldn't be compassionate with the individuals in our family lineages that experienced it worse than us. Because whenever I listen to the stories of my mother or my grandmother, I'm like, oh my God, I had it easy. But whenever I talk to my inner child, the most innocent part of myself, she's like, no, we did not. That was really hard. And I don't like it. And both realities exist. But this life demands independence. It demands it. That's what Mother Nature teaches us. She's like, get strong or I will kill you. Protect yourself or I will kill you. Figure out how to grow food or I will kill you. Like, this is that's the intensity. That's the intensity of this life. So I'm sorry for those of us that just really would love to just like be in a circle and just be like, everything's all right. Everything is all right. And at the same time, life demands individuation. It demands that you claim your power. It demands that you fight back with her. It demands strength. We're here to find strength. What's the strength? The strength of love, the strength of the heart, the strength of life, the strength of the mother that protects her children, the panther that protects her cubs, the bear that will kill you and like rip you in a million pieces for her babies. That's the strength of nature, and we are nature. So how does that translate to a human being? It doesn't translate anymore into, the strength of defeating the wild animals. We figure out how to do that. We figure out how to fight the externalized nature, how to protect ourselves from it, how to get air conditioner and heating systems, and just be very disconnected from the elements. We've done it. So what's next? We're already super hyper protected from nature. Well, it turns out that there is a deeper nature. This life is like going in and in and in and in. Like, it's everything is pushing us towards ourselves to be like, oh my God, now that I'm not engaging with this energy out here, I'm going to engage with it inside and inside and deeper and deeper. So, what is the strength, the real strength that you need right now? If it's not the strength of, speaking of not, if it's no longer the strength of, the physical, the brute force of, I'm not gonna let the animal kill me. Well, it's the strength of the spirit, the strength of your heart. What is to be a human being, to be fully, embodied in our animal and fully embodied in our divinity? We are like a bridge species. Being the bridge of anything is very difficult. And we are a bridge species. We are bridging the animal with the divine. We're finding the God Goddess within ourselves. And that's not an easy role. And I think the people that are chosen or that their souls chose to be the generational chain breakers of their family curses, they're individuals that wanted to be bridges on top of bridges that bridge bridges. So we wanted to just be like, okay, I'm gonna be this pattern in like the mandala of life, that instead of just going like straight from left to right, I'm gonna have seven spikes, and one is gonna lead in all these different directions. So I'm gonna bridge all of these different realities together. That's the role that we chose to take. That's why we're like, yeah, we're gonna do this. We're gonna incarnate here and we're gonna do this thing. Like, this is, we're probably, I don't know. I don't know. We don't know. I'm just gonna leave it at that. So why you? Why is it that your soul chose to embody this very difficult task of being the generational chain breaker of your family. It's not easy, you know, and there are some generational curses that are just so intense and so difficult. Like all of them are, but man, there are some that when I just sit with them, I'm like, oof, wow. So why was it that we chose this reality? And, you know, I've really pondered on that question for a long time. And I realized that one of my superpowers and the superpower of a lot of people that I meet on this path, if not every person I meet on this path, is our sensitivity. And to be sensitive, it's like an insult in this reality. And it's also very overly idealized in certain spiritual communities. So what is to be sensitive? To be sensitive is to feel. To feel what? To feel like the vibration of life. So if we are hypersensitized to the vibration of life, and we can be like, this thing that doesn't feel good to me. Everybody else is like, it's okay. This is fine. I'm doing fine. Hello, Susan. Like everybody's like in this robotic energy. And I'm like, something doesn't feel right. This hypersensitivity that we have, it's almost like we are the radars of life being like, ha, distortion. I found a distortion in my universe. What am I going to do with it? Am I going to victimize myself to the distortion? Am I going to put the blame on my parents? Am I going to put the blame of the president or politics or the government or the war or all these things? Or am I choosing to see myself as, you know, this co-creator that is a force of nature that came to this planet to find the strength of the soul, and I choose to become the center of my own universe. Therefore, everything I see outside of myself exists within me. Therefore, I need to find a knot within myself and a feeling that wants to be felt. So what is that feeling? And then I feel it, and then I'm free. It's that simple, and it's hard, right? But it's that simple. And it's so hard because we just want a hug. Like, we just want to be loved. We just want that. We just want to rest. I don't know, like that final release that we're looking for in our life, that final, that melting, that's the energy of Kamala, which is the last of the 10 Mahavidyas, the 10 Tantric goddesses. That's the final release. That's the... And I have been blessed enough to have like previews of those experiences through a couple near-death experiences I've had in my life and through some psychedelic journeys I've had. And when you have the glance of it, it's really hard to come back to like the mundane pain of life. Because you're like, but why even be alive if that exists? And this is like the punchline of today's conversation. I thought like, oh, I felt that thing and then I came back and then I'm back in the mundane life and time doesn't exist there. Whenever we're like awaken and fully alive inside of the goddesses, inside of Shakti, inside of life, God, source, whatever you want to call it, when there is like the merging of everything together, there's no time. And from that perspective, you understand that this feeling of, oh, that feeling, that's what's holding the divine. Therefore, the divine is almost looking at the distortion as like, that distortion is what gives me life. There is a interdependency between the light and the dark, between the pain of life and the bliss of release. And we think it's like time. It's like, oh, I'm here now and then later I'll get that. But it's all happening right now. And so the blessing of opening up spiritually and getting out of religions that separate you from your spiritual life is that when you get out of the house of the established religions and you enter into your own spiritual temple and you're like, I am an independent soul. And it's not the word independent. I am a spiritually emancipated soul that chooses to engage directly with my animal self and with my divine self. And I'm going to be here present with life. And I'm going to feel the discomfort of life. But because I am outside of these houses that are like blocking me from connecting directly with spirituality, the divine is going to give me a stream of water so that I'm constantly washed in the mundane pain of life. That's why we do spiritual work. No matter what, we're going to be doing spiritual work, whether we are aware of it or not. But when we are aware of it and we work with it and we like invite these energies into our life, what basically what we're doing in essence is saying like, wash me as I go through this. And then all of a sudden, you're not stuck so much in like the polarity of, you know, the difficult reality. You get to navigate life a little bit in the middle. So breaking those generational curses when you're navigating right here in the middle is not so bad. It's not so bad. There's a beauty to it. And whenever you are so connected to like that light and you have this constant pouring of energy from the divine and you're receiving that cosmic milk and you're receiving just the solar energy of wisdom and divinity, as you're dealing with this generation of curses, you're like in the moment recognizing the wisdom of them. You're getting illumination moment after moment, not the big illumination, the one that's like moksha, liberation, freedom. It's more like, there's like a tiny little liberations that happen throughout. And then breaking the generational curses becomes a pleasurable thing because you're like, ooh, discomfort and then freedom, discomfort and freedom, discomfort and freedom. This is a way of living. This is a way of living. But it starts with a principle. What's the principle? I choose to believe that life is meant to feel good. If I think that life is pain or I'm like, well, that's the way it is, then, you know, you kind of have to live that reality. Like that's a law of the universe. Nobody really made that law. It's just the way things are. So embodying that principle, my life is meant to feel good. It feels good. If it feels good, it's in alignment with my soul. And I always call them like, there's always like desert seasons. The desert seasons are the seasons where I become aware of something, a distortion, and then I choose to not engage with it. So everything in my life closes off and dries off and dies. And then I feel like I'm about to die, but then somehow I don't die, but I have to go through a desert. And then all of a sudden I pop up into an oasis that has everything I need. And then I start getting the new reality. And what we ended up doing was like a 180 energetically. That desert of life, that's like, you know, that happens whenever you make a value change like that. Like right now, I am inviting you to accept this value that life is meant to feel good. That if you feel good, you're in alignment with the soul. And what happens? It's like, well, if I were to feel good, I wouldn't go to work. So then you don't go to work. And then you get a notification, you know, saying like, hey, you miss work so much. Here's, you know, your, what is it called? Like, you're in trouble, probation. And you're like, okay, well, what feels good? What feels good is to still not go to work. And then you don't. And then you get fired. And then you're scared. And you're like, okay, I'm scared right now. But what feels good in this moment? Well, in this moment, it feels good to go out and like go buy myself a crepe. Drink a coffee. Like, that's what feels good. And you see, and then all of a sudden, like, your life collapses and you get kicked out of your apartment. And by the way, like I'm this is an exaggeration, right? But it's like it's a luxury that, you know, single people that have no pets or kids have. And then all of a sudden you're like, holy shit, that was gonna happen. Am I gonna end up homeless and hungry? And then you probably will, you know, I have. And then something very magical happens where it's like that, the quantum shifts. It wasn't a quantum shift. It was a painful, slow process of like really trusting life. But then all of a sudden, it's like, here comes the first glass of water. I found the oasis, another glass of water, more water. Now I have food. Now there's fruit. And then now all of a sudden, my reality is rebuilding itself. And that's what happens whenever we choose to neglect an old pattern, mental pattern, especially those generational patterns that say certain things. Like, a mantra in my family was, life demands blood, sweat, and tears. Imagine that. Blood, sweat, and tears. Are you kidding me? And the beautiful thing about that is, like, of course, for many years, I was like, okay, blood, sweat, and tears, pain, suffering, work, effort. I started working very young, like a lot of work and school and work and work and just like working like an immigrant in America, just this energy of like, I'm gonna exploit myself physically for the paycheck, for the money, so that I can eat. Like, it's like this distortion that lived in my family. And I went through this process of the desert, and I broke through, the poverty and the abuse and the, like, the sexual trauma, generational curses. But then whenever I enter into my new life after going through that desert or deserts, because it has been many, many seasons of that, that energy of blood, sweat, and tears came back, but it came back differently. Yeah, life is blood, sweat, and tears. My menstrual blood, when I'm bleeding, it's sacred time. And I interact with it and I'm like, oh, I feel like the oracle in me understanding what this means. Like, I'm connecting to this blood. Blood became a very important part of my life. Every month I look forward to my period because I want to see what's going on. I want to explore what my reality is showing me, what's around me, what's going on in the life of my partner or my friends or the people I live with. Like, that's that time. So blood came back. Sweat. Yes, sweat. I dance. I walk. I like to be in hot places. I like making love. Like, sweat is also a very big part of my life. And tears. I cry out of joy. Like I watch movies and I cry whenever I get like blissed out on life. I cry. If I'm feeling sad, I cry. If I'm feeling overwhelmed, I cry. Like, I love crying. So those same principles came back. But you see, they came back transformed without the distortion, without the like, ah, and it came back with the, ah, with the spaciousness. So these generational curses are guiding you towards your destiny. They're letting you know what is the duality that you must awaken to. What darkness are you meant to illuminate in your life? These generational curses, the extent and the depth of them, of what you witness or what you felt, because I remember not all of them are seen, some of them are felt. The polar opposite is your destiny. The polar opposite of them is your destiny. If you grew up in extreme poverty, whether you had food or not, the polar opposite is your destiny, wealth, abundance. If you grow up in neglect, the opposite. If you grow up feeling that your feelings were just all in, eat them up, expression, that's your destiny. Whatever the pain was there, whatever was felt, and you see it in your family lineage, and you see it in all the people around you, that's the path to freedom. So, bullet points on how to move through these energies, because it's, very philosophical conversations. Let's bring it down to earth. You feel the pain, observe it without judgment, feel the pain. You take ownership of your life. You take responsibility for your decisions and for everything you observe. If you get robbed in the corner, you take responsibility for that. What is this showing me about myself? What is life pointing at me? Radical responsibility for yourself. Third, you learn emotional independence rooted in your connection to the divine. Emotional independence. What does that mean? You don't depend on another person, on society, on your job, on your business, on your friends, or anybody. You depend on the divine mother and the divine father, on divinity itself to provide for you and to guide you. That's emotional independence. You share with people, you share with others, but your line of connection with your emotions, with your life force, it's with the divine directly, not through churches, not through religions, not through cults, not through groups, not through gurus, nothing. Like, the feminine path is a solo path. And we have to take that responsibility if we want to enter into the realm of it. We don't have to take that path. We can take the path, the externalized solar masculine path of like, there is a, you know, there is like a guide, a teacher that chose me, and then I follow the directions and there is a connection there. But the feminine path is all within. So number four, ground into your faith. I have a belief that I'm always right. How arrogant, right? But I'm always right. I don't make mistakes. And when something looks like a mistake, I just have to wait and see how it unfolds. So don't let the world tell you who you are. You need to connect with who you are. In my core, I am innocence. That's why I'm never wrong. I am innocence. But you did this. Ah! At the core is innocence. I just have to wait out and see what, like, observe what is it that unfolds from this thing. But I'm never making mistakes. That's another value, another belief system that I've implanted in myself, along with life is supposed to feel good. So it's important to know who you are so you don't let the world tell you who you are. And lastly, very important, is you consciously feed with your awareness and your mental energy the healed reality. Don't try to change the old reality or, you know, go and spread your healing light until the patterns. No, no, no. You feed the healed reality. If there was poverty, feed abundance, feed wealth, focus on there. Luck is always going to be present. It's always going to be there. If you turn around, you will always find it there. But your energy is required on the path of abundance and wealth. What does that mean to me? What is the abundant decision? What is the abundant feeling? From this thing and this thing, which one feels abundant? The one that feels good, because life is supposed to feel good. Remember, that's how we be to the boom, boom, boom of our own inner life. And this allows you to also, it demands that you become your inner mother and your inner father. Your inner mother and your inner father. Who is the true mother and father? The divine. And then you have to become the mother and father of your emotional body, of your physical body, of your mind. So those are the bullet points. I am done, guys. So thank you so much for being here, for coming. I'm so sorry about the last minute email. It's been 2 weeks of, I'm going through some shit, some good stuff though. Some really, really, I'm excited to see it, but whoo. I would love to open up if anybody has anything to share or questions or a message for the group. I'm going to get a... Thank you, Nika. Right? Nika, did I say that right? Nika says, that was epic. Thank you, Silvana. You're welcome. Just really want to thank you for giving such deep content for free. It's incredible and mind-blowing each time. Thank you so much, Sarah. I really appreciate it. It's really feeding my soul to do this every Thursday. Do it for me too. Oh, okay. Dana, it was powerful. Thank you, Dana. Thank you for being here. Guys, Dana is my beautiful client. She's in my mentorship program. She's going through some exciting things. And I just want to remind everyone that my mentorship is always open, and it's for tantric mentorship to work with the 10 Mahavidyas and design your own spiritual system to organize your life and connect with your sexuality and your divinity within yourself. And next week, maybe tomorrow, but most, no, not tomorrow. Next week, I am going to be launching a new course on healing sexual trauma. And that's why I've been so triggered in the last couple of weeks, because I've been working on creating the curriculum and kind of exploring, like, reverse engineering my process and the process of one of my clients that, you know, she has been like really helping me, giving me feedback on what's needed for like severe trauma. And then I'm kind of creating it more in mind with like sexual trauma in general of the on just basically my definition of sexual trauma is any unwanted, non-desire or not understood receiving of energy that you didn't want to receive. That's so it's you know, it's deep, it's very deep. Doing it under the tantric lens so we can move through the energies quicker. But I think that if you are a woman, period, this course will be very helpful. So next week I should be connecting on email or on social media, talking a little bit more about what this course will be about. But just letting you guys know, and if you know of any, you have any girlfriends or even guys that support the Divine Feminine movement, you know, they're welcome to these classes if you want to invite them. And yeah, I will see you guys next week. Thank you so much for being here. I love you all so much. Oh, thank you, Sarah. I actually I'm closing down my membership because I don't have the energetic capacity to like keep that up. But I'm gonna open not the membership, but I am gonna open like a community inside of Kajabi for free, basically for this type of classes, but so the group can start connecting inside of a place and not just on Zoom, because there are some weeks that some people can come, some people cannot. So I'm trying to create a place in Kajabi where all the recordings are going, and then I'll open up the free community. And then if you want to work with me, it will be through courses and then the mentorships. And I'm also going to be opening like one-off calls, like, you know, like flash mentorship calls per se, or like a coaching. God, I have such a hard time with the word coaching, but I'll be opening up coaching calls as well for people that maybe they don't want to do like the full mentorships, but just, you know, have a specific knot that they would like some help with. So, okay, have a beautiful week. Sending you all kisses. Oh, sorry, last thing. Basil baths on Fridays. If you are energetically sensitive and you know there's a lot of overburden of energies, I did wanted to share, I just forgot to do it at the beginning of the call, that you can do basil baths every Friday. I give myself a basil bath just to as a form of cleansing. And if you feel called, you want to do it, please do. And then I would love if, you know, maybe like in a couple of weeks, you can share if you notice any difference in your life or dreams or overall state of mind with the basal baths, just to kind of collect information about the different effects it has on different peoples. So perfect. I'll stay posted. I already feel so many shifts with this available content. It's so exciting. With the 9-day pink tantra on YouTube, mind blowing. Oh, I'm so glad you're doing it, Sarah. Yes, that was a, dude, that was a powerful, powerful little program there. Okay, now I'll let you go. Have a beautiful day. What kind of basil? So just basil leaves, basil. You grab a bunch of basil, boil it. I wouldn't put the water too hot, just boil it for, you know, you'll see, like 30 minutes, maybe 20 minutes on medium to low heat, and then let it cool off. And then once you take a shower, you're going to pour the basil water on your body. It's a spiritual cleanse, very good for women. That's what the indigenous said. And also one of my teachers, she recommended, and I was like, see, there's a connection. If the indigenous woman from Colombia is telling me, do basil baths, you need basil baths. And then the teacher, which is an occultist Thelemite woman, she's saying the same thing. I'm like, there's something powerful here. So I started doing them since I moved here to Argentina. But I wanted to hear more about, you know, others doing it. Yep, with the new moon too. Yep. So woof, tomorrow might be a good day to do you know, all those nice feminine rituals. In Colombia, they say that when you say goodbye too many times because you don't want to leave the party. I don't want to leave the party, but it's time. Okay. Bye everyone. Have a good weekend.